Hi, I'm Stan, a compulsive overeater, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home.
Hi,
I
Stan.
guess. Okay. It's good to see everybody this morning. I see that my sponsor's online, so I got to be a good boy and watch the four-letter words and stuff like that. So, okay. I don't want to get into a big drunkalogue here. And I came into a program in 1987. I was 232 pounds, crazier than a fruitcake. I didn't know I had a problem, but everybody else around me did. Even mom, even my mom, she looked in the Tribune and she found this Overeaters Anonymous. And I don't think in those days we had 1-800 numbers. I think it was different numbers. But she looked and she found Overeaters Anonymous. And there was also a gentleman at work. He was in NA and he spotted how crazy I was at work. So, and then my wife knew there was something going on with me. And then my daughter, she says, "Dad, I can't even lay on the couch with you. You're getting so big." So, like I said, I had no problem. I was in my life. I mean, and my life was control, manipulating, a lot of things. I had no problem. I didn't think I had any problems at all. But these four people approached me, and I was very surprised. And anyway, the gentleman at work, he was in NA. He knew like he knew about OA. And he sent a little Eskimo over to my warehouse, and this person talked to me, and we went and had a cup of coffee over at Bud's around the corner, and she explained the program of Overeaters Anonymous. I had no idea what AA was, I had no idea what NA was. You know what I mean? But apparently, my craziness affected everybody, and it talks about that in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Where you're just like a tornado and you're just whirling through town and town and town and leaving a lot of destruction. And I guess I was like that. But anyway, she convinced me to go to my first meeting. This is like 36 years ago. My birthday's coming up December 1st. I'll have been in program for 37 years. And but I went to program and I went to my first meeting and I just liked it and I couldn't even tell you why. And in those days we had a lot of people from AA and we had the AA speakers and everything, but I liked it. So I went back, and I didn't even open the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Some young lady bought me or gave me a book my first meeting, and I thought that was really pretty neat. And I didn't, but I didn't open it, but I put it under. I look pretty cool. I look good. It matched my sweater. And like I'd go into the meetings and just sitting in the meetings, and this was in 1987. I came in December 1st, 1987, because I just did not want to go through another holiday eating. And so I got into my meetings and just sitting there for 6 months and not opening the book, but just being in there because to me, it was a safe haven, a safe harbor, a place I could come in and I could listen to my story. And most of the time out there, the wife, whatever, all they said is, "Well, just stop eating." And even my new wife today says, "Moderation." Well, what the hell is moderation? I start with two and go up. So even today, anyway, I sat in the meetings for 6 months, and I lost 32 pounds. And by the way, I think we have a newcomer here this morning. You're the most, besides me, you're the second most important person on this meeting. You really are, sweetie. So you just hang on and And hang on, because you're going to have a ride of your life if you hang on with us and just go with it. So anyway, 6 months down the road, I wasn't working the program. I was having a slice of pie. I was having little cookies, blah, 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 blah. But I lost 32 pounds because I wanted to be like those people. And then 6 months into program, I was getting ready to leave because eventually, you know, eventually I thought I was tired. I was tired of the meetings, blah, blah, blah. And in those days we had good sized meetings. And I left the meeting one evening and it was the last time I was coming back. And anyway, a woman in program, she's still in program today. She noticed me taking off in the parking lot and she asked, called me back. She asked me, what's going on with you? And I says, I'm done. I'm done with this program, blah, 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 and all that. She says, well, what's your abstinence? And I says, well, blah, blah, blah. And she says, I want you to get off of sugar. And I says, okay, I can do that. So I went back into the meeting. I got off of sugar, recreational refined sugar, because that was my problem. Candy bars, cookies, whatever. And I got off of sugar. It took me about 10 to 14 days to dry out, the sugar. And then after that, that's when the feelings came up because I was suppressing it. And my feelings came up and I went, oh, what the hell am I supposed to do now? Well, go back into the room, go back in the room. So anyway, that's when I started working my program. And that was right around May, sometime in May. But my date that I actually walked into my first meeting was December 1st, 1987. So I just want to let anybody know that if you just come into the rooms and sit, you're going to lose weight. And I was like, whoa, this is pretty good. So that's when I started working my program. And my meals, I was a label reader. You know, I'd go to the store because I heard if you read the first five ingredients, if it has sugar in it, don't, you know, put it back down on the shelf. And that's what I did. I'd go and I'd read the labels. And my abstinence for years was three meals a day, pretty much no recreational or refined sugar. And I'm really proud of myself. I haven't had a friggin' donut in 35 years or an ice cream or what else? Cake. I had a piece of my mom and dad's anniversary cake, a little slice of that back in the day. But all that stuff, the cakes, the pies, the candies and everything, I totally got off of it. And I stayed off of that for, oh my gosh, probably 33 years, 34 years. Okay. I still haven't had a donut. I haven't had any ice cream. I haven't had, but I've had diet, Cokes and stuff. Anyway, my abstinence changed over the years a little bit. But for the first, like I said, first 34, 35 years, man, I was like, wow, this is squeaky clean. So I've been able to maintain anywhere from a 35 to a 50 pound weight loss for the last 35, 36 years. And I am pretty proud of that. Went on a cruise years ago, ate too much, came back, you know, call my sponsor. I didn't eat the wrong stuff, but I just ate too much. And you know what? Cruises are floating buffets in a lot of bars. But my sponsor, I called my sponsor, Peter Smith. And I was really upset. I said, oh, Peter, I blew it. I blew my abstinence. He says, hey, you were on vacation. You're on vacation. He says, just go back and sit in the rooms. That's all you got to do. Go back to your chair. You got a chair. And I was in the fear section I was afraid of everything. I'm still afraid of life. You know what I mean? But I was in the fear section for several years in Skivvy. I'd come in and I'd sit on the west side of the room. And that was the fear section. And that's what my sponsor told me. He says, just go sit in there for your section. And I did. And people would come in. Alan would come in and visit me. And then they'd leave. But I stayed in that fear section for years, years. And everything I'm telling you right now, I've heard from my sponsor, all these little so-called nuggets, you know, they came from my sponsor. So anything I talk about, it's not new. And my sponsor got them from his sponsor, which passed away when he was 98 years old. He was my grand sponsor. We call them grand sponsors. So anyway, I've got a glare for something. Maybe that's a little bit better. Stay with me for a second, guys. Oh, shoot. It's coming off of this. So anyway, I just stayed in pro, you know what I mean? And I did my four, you know, I did my four step. I had a wonderful sponsor. I did my first fifth step with him. And every time I it took me 6 weeks to do my four step, and I did it out of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. And then when I did my fifth step with him, it took me 6 hours, three 2-hour sessions with Peter. And before I'd leave, he'd said, Stan, be gentle with yourself. He'd always say, be gentle with yourself. In other words, you know. So anyway, but I left after I did my fifth step. I'm kind of going forward in a way, but after I did my first step, I didn't feel any different. But okay, it was cool. I had like 34 people I needed to make amends to. I made amends to most, a lot of them. And let me tell you, they just show up. I mean, and one thing my sponsor said, he says, when you're done with your four step, he says, I don't want you to put this inventory in a drawer and leave it. I mean, he was always so kind and loving with me, Daryl, Allie. He was so kind and loving, but he got right on me and he looked at me and said, you need to start making your amends right away. So I started with my mom, my dad, you know, brother, sister, blah, blah, blah. And then the harder amends came a little bit later. But but that's when I started to feel that third step come in. That's where God is for me. The third step, made a decision to turn my life and my will over to the care of God. And I started making my amends to people. And by doing that, I started to forgive myself. And that's when it took me, I started to feel peace. I started to feel in the moment. And that's when my program, I mean, that's when the promises of the program kicked in. And I started my spiritual journey the first meeting I went to. That's when we start our spiritual journey. Well, I didn't think I did. I thought, well, you know, the spiritual journey is after the ninth step, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And we have the San Gabriel Mountains in Southern California. And I was going down Arrow Highway, getting ready to turn into the parking lot at Skivvy. And I looked up and I saw the mountains for the first time. Wow. It was like, you know, no more, you know, so I just saw the mountains and it was like, wow, something has changed. And it was the ninth step when I started to tell, you know, make my amends is when I started to get peace of mind. And anyway, that's pretty much how I got this program going. I've always gone to a meeting a day because I eat every day, you know. And I cannot do this program without a sponsor. There have been so many times that I felt like, and literally I wasn't going to drive my car off of a cliff, but I sure in the hell felt like it. Or I sure in the hell felt like, you know, if I just swing over in the other lane over there, there's a 16 wheeler. No, they have 18 wheels. Here comes an 18 wheeler. But I'm serious. It's like, I could end it right now. And I'm not suicidal. You know, I'm too chicken for that stuff anyway. But I would pull my car over. I sold. I had my own business, and I sold for 36. Is the time up, Shelby? 5 more minutes. Okay. And wow, it went fast. Okay, but anyway, there were so many times my sponsor, I mean, call my sponsor, and he says, "Stan, have you?" And I pull the car over the side of the road, and he says, "Well, do you have a roof over your head?" "Yeah." "Mantras." He would give me mantras. "Do you have a gas in the tank of the car?" "Yeah." "You doing okay?" "Yeah." He says, "Okay, when you're ready, just put it in drive. Can you do that, Stan?" "Yeah, probably do it all right." And he says, "Go ahead." And I did that so many times. I used other people, and also sponsorees helped me so much. Like Eddie, when you're out there by yourself and you're isolated, like I was on the road for 32 years, all you got is a sick mind talking to a sick mind. And isolation, I think, is one of the worst things that we can be in. But anyway, Eddie would call me, "Can you give me my candle this Saturday?" And just that phone call from another person, "How's it going? What's going on?" That is so important. So anyway, I am so grateful. I'm going to talk a little bit about gratitude. We went out and had dinner with an old high school friend and his wife. And Andy tells me, he says, "My wife really didn't like you." She's okay. This is when you know you've changed, when other people that don't really know you come up and say, "You've changed." Or my old buddy Andy, he says, "You've changed, Stan. You've changed. And you're not the person you used to be." And that's what you're going to get if you stay in this program. You're not going to be the person that you used to be. And I think those steps are so important. I believe that the tools are important. Meetings, that takes care of the isolation. Abstinence, you got to have abstinence. You got to have that telephone. You know what I mean? And so if and right now, this time of the year, I know I'm almost done here, but this time of the year is so important because next Thursday, I know a lot of us are going to be sitting in the room with a candle, but there's going to be a lot of us that are going to be at family dinners. You know what I mean? So every time I would go into, and my family loves me to, I mean, I can't believe it. I come through some stuff. But every time I would go to a dinner, I would take God with me. I would take all you guys with me. Maybe I'd leave a couple of you behind, but I don't know who they'd be, I'd take you guys with me, and I'd drive down the road and I'd say, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change at this dinner, to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." And so it's very important. If I was to overeat at Thanksgiving, it's okay. It's okay. You know what I mean? It's just food. And same thing with Christmas. So I overeat, at Christmas. But I go right back to doing what I've done because I want change. I left, or my wife passed 4 years ago. And I moved, my I and the people in program said, "Stan, you don't need to go out, you don't need to start dating, da 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 da." And I, and it's like they told me, and even Cindy Smith said, "I know exactly when you're going to meet that perfect woman. 3 years, 24 days, and 10 minutes." It's like, okay, Cindy. And I listened to Cindy. Cindy's been in program 100 years, well, 50 years, okay? But I listen to the people who have gone before me. My sponsor's gone before me. He has a sponsor. Find somebody that's got some depth and find somebody that's my age. You know what I mean? Cindy's 20 years younger than I am, but still. Anyway, it really works. And the key, I found the key to life is you just keep showing up. And at my age, it's at my age, a lot of it's about self-care. I try to get to the gym 3 times a week. You know what I mean? And for the first 6 months to a year, I would cry, I would whine, I would go in, I'd bitch to the little kids behind the counter how I didn't want to be there, but I would show up. Same thing with these meetings, same things with OA. You know, there's times I come in and I hate all you guys. And then there's times I come in and I'm a spiritual giant and I love you. You know what I mean? So anyway, I'm going to give all of you guys a great holiday hug. Okay. I have got my bounty. You know, the bounty guy on the clean, not the Kleenex, but the Scott towels. I got my bounty shirt on, working at the gym. Life is good. Life is so good, but I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't have had it. And one nice thing about this program is sometimes I wake up in fear, not very few times anymore. But I come in and I go to that attitude adjustment meeting in the morning. And it when I get into that meeting, I get out of myself. I get out of myself for 1 hour, and I swear, after I leave this room, it's like, hey, it's another day. Okay, blah, blah, blah. And I'm also very lucky because I have a new wife and she's my prayer partner. And we pray almost every morning. I also make a living amends to her too. I massage her feet. Man, my hands are getting, I need to do that because I give her a foot massage every morning, and that's called a living amends. My first wife, what I did, okay, just a second, Shelby. My first wife, what I did is I made coffee for her every morning for, oh my gosh, 30 until she passed away. I'd always make coffee for her. That's the living amends. So anybody out there, and you don't have to have somebody to tell you, make a living amends. Anyway, I'll take. My pitch is over.